السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering on the day of Jumu'ah. It is indeed the great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to come to His house. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to favor us with this brilliant ni'mat, this beautiful ni'mat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating this ability and this tawfiq of coming to His house. May Allah Pa give us the tawfiq of appreciating the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that the last day of our lives is the day of Jumu'ah. Anyway, we are speaking about the ahadith of Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayh, and we explained that from about 500,000 ahadith, he had gathered those ahadith in his kitab. And then thereafter he mentioned that if a person practices upon 4 ahadith, this is sufficient for him. Person who's intelligent, person of understanding, he practices upon these 4 ahadith, this is sufficient for him. Now these people, they understood the depth of ahadith, the broad spectrum that these ahadith had encapsulated in them. So they have understood it. Perhaps if we bring it and we try to bring it in our lives, inshallah, there's great hope that it will help us to bring the whole of deen into our lives. So we had started off explaining innamal a'malu bin niyat, that a person's actions are judged by his intentions. That this, every action that we do, ask ourselves, what is the niyat? Why am I doing it? I'm saying something, I'm speaking something, I'm doing something, I'm acting in a certain way, what is my niyat? Is my niyat to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the starting point. If it is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I'm on the right track. And if my niyat is to impress somebody else, then immediately I'm moving in the wrong direction. So the first thing we need to ask ourselves before we do anything is, what is my intention? And sometimes it happens that the person's intention is correct. His niyat is correct. At the time of doing the action, he's got the best of niyats. But later shaitan comes in, and shaitan wants him now to spoil his actions and to spoil his amal that he has done. Because remember something, a person that is doing good actions is actually generating a balance. His balance is increasing and it's increasing and it's increasing. And in akhirat, this person now will be able to get access to that balance that he has accumulated. That investment that he's accumulated of actions and amal, that access to it he doesn't have in the dunya. Yes, the barakat and the blessings he'll feel in this world, but the access to that currency of amal, a person will see in the akhirat. Now shaitan doesn't want to see us with this beautiful balance and this beautiful investment of akhirat. He wants to see how this can diminish and replenish before a person reaches akhirat. So after a person's niyat is good and he does good actions, shaitan still tries to dissuade a person, tries to get him to diminish his balance. And one of the methods he uses, لَا تُبْتِ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَىٰ, that don't spoil, Allah Pak is saying that don't destroy your actions with what? بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَىٰ, reminding people of the favors that you have done to them. You may have shown some action or some acts of favor, some act of kindness. You may have shown some person some generosity. But later on, shaitan will tell you to remind this person that one day he was down and out and you were the one that brought him out. You were the one that helped him. You were the one that assisted him. Go and remind him of that favor. So one of the methods shaitan uses now to destroy that balance that we've got is the reminder of the favors. The ihsan jitana, that a person goes and he reminds, and Allah Pak forgive us, that sometimes children even use this to taunt the parents. Elderly parents, that I did this for you and I did, forgetting that the parents have done so much for the children, and not once did the parents remind the children of the favors. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of looking after and valuing this investment of amal that we got. So one is where a person, he shows off and he reminds people of the favors, and the next is adha. Person, he hurts people, he uses such words that people are getting injured by, or sometimes he uses different methods, but he hurts the feelings of people and he hurts people. So this is another way of destroying this account balance that we have, this great balance of amal that we have. This is the second way of destroying it, is by hurting and injuring people. So this is the first hadith that we spoke about, innamal amalu bin niyat. The day after, we spoke about the next hadith, that min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, that from the beauty of a person's Islam, is he leaves out those things that don't concern him. And unfortunately, today's time and age, we see that with the social media, there are so many things that don't concern us, but yet we make it and we feel as though it does concern us. Person should remind himself of this hadith, such a beautiful, if we assume each hadith here to be 25%, because there's four hadiths that he's mentioned, that is sufficient for a person, then 25% of practicing upon this that will enable us, or make it be sufficient for us to practice on deen, is just leave out those things that don't concern us. And what the hadith is saying, min husni islamil mar'i tarku ma la ya'ni, from the beauty of a person's Islam, is those things that don't concern him, he leaves it out. Why? We don't have time. Life is so short. When a person's eyes close, then he'll wish that he just had a little few, or he just had a little moments more, a few moments more, so that he could do more. But now when he's got this opportunity, and then he's getting involved in those things that don't concern him, especially in this zamana, in this time, in this December period, that there's so many attractions out there, there are so many distractions, should we say, and a person, those things that don't even concern him, but he may want to go, and a person is excited, and he wants to try and find things to just occupy his time. Therefore, in Urdu, there's a nice saying, that ye waqt guzarne ke liye nahi hai, ye waqt banane ke liye hai. That this time that Allah has given us, not just to pass, let's look for something to pass time. Sometimes a person will spend 5 days watching a cricket match, a 5-day cricket match. Sometimes he'll be preoccupied in playing cards with his friends. Sometimes he's just casually speaking the whole night out with a bride. But the person is not realizing that ye waqt guzarne ke liye nahi hai. Allah hasn't just given us this time to while away. Allah has given us this time so that we can build our akhirat. We can do things that can help the community. We can do things that can help people. We can be a means of benefit to people. And then one of the things that we spoke about was the wife of Hazrat Maulana Dawood Paja Rahmatullah Ali. These three qualities that she had, beautiful qualities, just to recap. The first quality that she had, but no demands that she made on her husband at all. The second quality that she had, beautiful quality, was every week she and husband would see that how we can bring one sunnat alive in our lives. So let us ask ourselves, are we trying to bring the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alive, or is the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaving us, leaving our community, leaving the ummah? Let us see how much effort we are making to bring the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alive. And the third beautiful quality that she had was she would take care to see that she can assist the poor. She would fill those 2-liter cool drink bottles with the juice, put it in the freezer, allow it to get cold, and then she would serve. And there, poor people would be drinking, and dua would be coming out from their hearts for this woman. So simple, a person doesn't need to have a lot of money, but a person just needs to have the heart. Sometimes the heart, that's why they say, har cheez bhi maza hai agar dil bhi jaga hai. A person will find enjoyment in everything if he's got place for it in his heart. Therefore, you find some people, they can shop for hours and hours and hours. Why? Because they got the place for the shopping in the heart. So like that, other people, they can they can sit in front of the television for hours, and it means nothing to them because they got that place for it in the heart. That person who's got place in his heart for Quran Sharif, he'll be able to read Quran for hours and hours, and this thing will grant him enjoyment. So let us change that enjoyment that we get from those things, away from those things that are sinful, to those things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the next hadith, min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, a person leaves out everything that doesn't concern him. And therefore one good tip is try and stay away from unnecessary groups. People nowadays with the social media, in this group, in that group, and there are so many things that don't concern a person that are being said there. A person doesn't realize that ye ek chor hai, that those groups are actually thieves. They're stealing away our time, stealing away our time, stealing away our mental energy, stealing away our emotions. And we are getting emotional about things that we don't even need to get. Let us preoccupy ourselves with things that will help us when our eyes close, and we'll go in the qabr. Third hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we discussed in the last bayan, was لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That no person is a true believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. how he likes to be treated, that is how he will treat his brother. How he likes to receive ni'mats and gifts, that is what he will wish for his brother. How he wishes to be treated, that is how he treats people. This is also from the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And today we'll just complete with the fourth hadith, beautiful hadith, al-halalu bayyinu wal-haramu bayyin. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that halal is very clear and haram is very, very clear. وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. And between this halal and haram, we get a grey area, doubtful area. And what is the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Stay away from this doubtful area. Stay away from this grey area. Sometimes we think that it's necessary for us to go into this doubtful area. It is necessary for us to go in the grey area. How are we going to make money? We should never ever think like that. That person that stays away from the grey area, Allah will make means for him. Allah will make ways for him from sources that he never ever thought of. There was a great personality by the name of Qazi Abu Bakr, rahmatullahi alayh. He was staying in Makkatul Mukarramah, and at that time, things were extremely difficult. Very, very difficult. It was hot. He was hungry. And he says, one day, when I was returning home, and extremely hungry, I couldn't find anything to ward off my hunger, and I found a pouch on the ground, a silken pouch with a silken tassel. I picked it up, and in it was a very, very precious necklace. Naturally, a thing to do is to take it, and a person should announce so that anybody that lost it, the person now can come and claim it. So this is what he had done. He had taken it with him, and he went home, so that now this thing can't get stolen, or somebody else mustn't take it and misuse it and abuse it. So this person had taken it. Just very quickly on a lighter note, this masla everyone knows, but sometimes people practice it on a different level. There was one person, he had found a rooster. Now he found a rooster. Now in India, a rooster is something is valuable. Here, sometimes because we're staying in the city, we don't take it to be something valuable. If we see a rooster, we won't feel like taking it, picking it up and stealing it. So this person had found this rooster. So now in his mind, he's thinking, now you know, the masla is, I have to announce this rooster. And if I announce it and nobody wants it, nobody takes it, I'm so poor, I can take it for myself. So he thought like that. So he said, let me do this announcing process before I take it. So he went to the marketplace and he said, Ye murga, quiet kiska hai. Again for the second time, Ye murga, everyone is looking at him, quietly, kiska hai. Ye murga, whose rooster is this? And then quietly he's saying, for first he's saying, this rooster, so people are thinking in the marketplace, this man is selling the rooster. Nobody is thinking that he's announcing the rooster. So anyway, this is our example. Sometimes we try and take Shariat and see how we can bend it to make it fit our situation. Anyway, moving on with the story. So he says, I found this silken pouch with this expensive necklace in it. I'm just showing you how a person stays away from haram, how Allah will give him from sources that he never even dreamt of. So he says he found it, and now he went out to announce it. And when he went out to announce it, then he had seen that there was a person there that is announcing and screaming that anybody found a silken pouch with a necklace in it, I'm willing to give him 500 dinars for it, 500 gold points for it. It was a very expensive necklace. So anyway, he says that, he tells this person, come with me. So he took him home and he asked him for details. The hadith mentioned that the person should find out what is the details, in what container it is, what pouch it is, what was the tassel tying that pouch up, what was the contents of the pouch, etc. So he asked this person, and this person gave detailed description, including what cord tied that necklace, etc. So he said, this is what I have found, and he had returned it. Now this old person is telling him that I want to give you these 500 dinars as a gift. So he said, no, I'm not accepting. Imagine, he was hungry. He couldn't find anything to eat. He said, I'm not accepting it because it's my Islamic duty to return this to you. It's not my duty to take anything in repayment. I'm not doing any sale. It doesn't belong to me. It's my duty to return it to you. I'm not taking 1 cent for it. This person insisted. He said, no ways. I'm not taking anything. I found it. I'm doing my duty in Islam to return it to you. So anyway, not too long after that, an incident had occurred that this person was traveling by ship. Qadi Abu Bakr, rahmatullahi alayhi, was traveling by ship, and there was a shipwreck. And now everyone else on that ship had drowned. Allah Pak wanted to save him. This is historically recorded authentically. So he said, I had caught onto one piece of plank and had floated with it until I reached the shore of an island. And when I reached that island, I found that there were many Muslims that were staying. It was an island that was inhabited by Muslims. So he says the first thing he did was he went to the masjid. And when he went to the masjid, he started reading Quran Sharif. Whilst reading Quran Sharif, the people of the town came and they heard something. He was a qazi, he was a great alim, he was a qari, he knew Quran Sharif well. So he said, whilst I was reading Quran, the people of the town came and they heard me. They were so excited by the Quran, they said, please teach us how to read Quran. So now he started teaching them how to read Quran. These people, for his time, they were remunerating him. And he said, after a short while, he had found some pieces or pages of the Quran that were lying in the masjid. He took it and he put it all together so that he could recite. When they saw him taking this Quran Sharif, now those days they would recite by Quran and they would teach the students by heart. So now when he had taken these pages, they looked at him and they said, this person even knows how to write. So they said, do you know how to write? He said, yes. He said, please teach us and teach our children also how to write. Now he became a teacher for that whole community, teaching them Quran, teaching them how to write, teaching the children how to write also. And he was being remunerated now very well. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had opened up the door for him. So now the people of the town said, please, there is an orphan girl that is here. We want you to get married to this girl. She's from a very wealthy family, but she's an orphan. We want you to get married to her. First he refused, but then because of the insistence, he accepted. And when he had got married and he had made nikah, now a few people were there with him, a few of the family members. So now this girl was brought to him. And when he seen this girl, he seen a necklace around her. And he, in shock, in a state of surprise, he just started staring at this necklace. So these people are saying, Hazrat Sheikh, that you know what, this girl is getting offended. Then instead of looking at her, you're looking at her necklace. Just a little bit on the lighter side. One student from the madrasa, he went to see one girl for a proposal. And when he had come back, then the ustad asked him, he said, I'm quite happy. Ustad said, what is it that you are happy with? Is it the family that you are happy with? Is it the girl's wealth that you are happy with? Is it the deen that you saw that you are happy with? What is impressing you about this girl? So he said, I went and then she had very nice techies on. And I liked the techies that she was wearing. So sometimes people see different things in a girl. So anyway, this person, this Qadi, Abu Bakr, he's looking at this chain and he's staring at the chain. So he said, Hazrat Sheikh, what is the problem? So he said, no, there's no problem. I'm staring at this chain because this was the same chain or same necklace that I had picked up in Makkatul Mukarramah. And I had returned it to the owner. I'm seeing exactly the same necklace on this woman. So then they all screamed, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. They also were in a shock. So then he asked them, what is the problem? They said, this girl's father was the same man you had returned the necklace to. And he had made dua. And he told us he had seen no true Muslim like that man in Makkah al-Mukarramah who he had met when he had gone to Makkah. He had seen no true Muslim like that man. And he made one dua before he passed away, that, oh Allah, get my daughter married to that man. And today that man passed away, but Allah had accepted his dua. So now Qadi Abu Bakr rahmatullah alayhi mentions further, he says that Allah Pak had given me two children from this woman and both two sons. And what had happened is, after some time this woman had passed away, myself and my two sons had inherited this necklace. And after some time also, these two sons that Allah had given me, they also had passed away, and I became the sole heir of this necklace. That necklace which I found, and I honestly returned it to the owner, Allah Pak now had made me the sole heir of this necklace. He says, thereafter I sold that necklace for 100,000 dinars. What was offered to him at that time, 500. He said, no, it's my duty to return it. He said, later Allah had made me the sole heir of this necklace, and now I had sold it for 100,000 dinars. So when a person stays away from anything that is doubtful, anything that is haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take it upon himself to provide this person with halal. My time is up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of bringing the beautiful ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.